Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
All this hour, we're talking about some of the best-known figures in the culinary world through documentary film. A documentary premiering at the Tribeca Festival tells the story of one of America's first celebrity chefs, a man who helped shape the trajectory of American cuisine, made pizza fancy, and helped transform the mundane role of cook into a widely respected position in the hospitality business. I am talking about Wolfgang Puck. Puck is a household name, whether you've dined at his famous restaurant Spago, you've seen him at the Oscars, caught him on one of your favorite morning shows, or eaten one of his pizzas after a busy day at work. You've definitely been proximate with the Wolfgang Puck brand. But as the film Wolfgang demonstrates, this culinary powerhouse came from humble beginnings in his home country of Austria, where an abusive stepfather pushed him out of the house and motivated him to be a success. The documentary is directed and produced by David Gelb, who you might also know from his acclaimed film Hero, Dreams of Sushi, and the series Chef's Table on Netflix. Giro, Dreams of Sushi, excuse me. You can stream the film at home as part of the Tribeca Festival starting Sunday at 6 p.m., and the film will be available to stream on Disney Plus starting on June 25th. We are thrilled to be joined now by director David Gelb. Hi, David.
Hi.
And Wolfgang Puck. Hi, Wolfgang.
Hello. Hello.
How are you?
I am excellent. I'm here at Cut in New York. I had already a great breakfast, and I'm ready to cook a steak now.
So, Wolfgang, I'm sure you have been approached before about making a film about your life. Why did you agree to this film?
Well, I love David's work. You know, when I saw Shiro's Dreams of Sushi or Chef's Table, when he traveled all over the world doing these films, I thought David would be the best guy to do that. But it was really David's idea to do the life story, to do a documentary about my life, not just to do a 20-minute or 30-minute film about what we do in the kitchen right now or where we do it. So I thought this would be really, at that time, I said, oh, that might be a great idea so that way we can go to Austria and see the beginning. And I think it, to me, I thought it would be important that young people today see that adversity sometimes can be a plus, can be a positive thing, and you can have a positive outcome from it. And I think David did such a great job of shooting it really well, really beautifully. So I'm very proud of what he did. I think he's one of the greatest directors.
One of the things I really got from the film, David, is how hard Wolfgang Puck has worked and continues to work. Over the course of making this documentary, because you really are immersed in this culinary world, what was something that you found out that was unique about Wolfgang?
Well, and thank you so much, Wolfgang, for the kind words. You know, I think that, you know, Wolfgang, in what we kind of realized when we were researching the film is that in parallel with Wolfgang's story is really also an evolution of the way that food and chefs are viewed, as well as the idea that, you know, it's not just about the sauce or about the technique. It's about the wonderful ingredients and the stories behind it. And I think Wolfgang infused an incredible context and story behind his food. And so it was just such an honor to be the ones to be able to make this film about him.
As you mentioned, Wolfgang, this film, we go back, we meet family in Austria, we hear about your family story. Was there a topic in the film that, what was the topic in the film that you maybe were a little nervous or concerned about, but you knew needed to be included?
Well, I think one of the parts which got included in is with my ex-wife that he interviewed. And I said, you know, she was part of my life then. And I think maybe in the next part, if we do part two, going to see also how Galila, my wife, is involved in our business now and the way she does things now. We just started a new company together. And I think that's going to be fun maybe if we do a second thing. But I think all in all, I was really happy. Sure, David could have interviewed 10 more people from the restaurants, or we could have gotten to all of our restaurants around the world and showed them. But I think it's only that much you can put in it, and you also want to keep it really short or short enough, so people want more and people don't fall asleep. You know, I'm the first one to say, I'm bored in a film, I fall asleep.
My guests are
Wolfgang. And I'll add that, you know, Wolfgang's life, he's done so much. And, you know, the really hard part of this movie was deciding, you know, what do we get to keep in the film? And, you know, what is not going to be part of the kind of core story? And so we really, our goal was to tell the origin story from Wolf, from a kid in Austria who came from a really tough situation to becoming this household name.
My guests are David Gelb, director and producer of Wolfgang, the subject of the film Wolfgang Puck, is joining us as well. Wolfgang, in the film, we learn a lot about you growing up in Austria and about your stepfather, who was quite abusive in your home and toward you. Now that you're an adult and you have separation from that time, how do you really think about how your stepfather influenced the decisions that you made early on in your life?
You know, I always think about if you have a lemon, a bad lemon, maybe you can make good lemon juice with it. And, you know, I look back, I still think, you know, how abusive he was toward me, not only mentally, but physically, toward my sister, I think was really crazy. And I thought when my mom passed away in 2004 and he was at the grave, he said, I want to spend a minute before they cover the grave. And he was crying and says, I'm so sorry what I did to you. I'm so sorry what I did to you. And he just continued saying that. And, you know, I said, you know, at the end, I was tough on him. And I said, you know, it is a little bit too late now. You know, you should have thought about that before. But then looking at my own life, yes, when I was a kid, I was really unhappy. I could not wait to get out of the house. I could not wait to leave the country because he was so abusive. But then on the other side, you could say maybe because of it, it gave me strength and it gave me really the strength to do more and to work harder and try really hard to become successful, you know, and to have almost like a revenge going on. So it could be both ways, you know. Maybe it's a little bit of part of a lot of different things, the motivation, how you get motivated. But I think I was pretty self-motivated most of the time. So, and after a while, I just forgot and I blanked my stepfather out of my life basically for many years.
There's a great story, Wolfgang, where you are a kid, you get a job in a kitchen and you get fired, but then you come back.
Yeah.
You come back and you are determined not to get pushed out. What was going on with you at that moment when you were a kid? Where did you get the strength to just come back?
You know, desperation might be a good word too. You know, my stepfather was telling me I'm good for nothing. And then I go to start my apprenticeship. I'm 14 years old. You know, I was like 5 foot tall maybe. And then the chef, after 3 weeks, when we didn't have enough potatoes on a Sunday lunch, and we ran out of mashed potatoes and this and that, and he blamed it on me and told me I'm good for nothing, I should go back to my mother and this and that. And I decided, no, I cannot do that. I cannot go back. So, and you will see it in a movie we shot on the bridge where I was standing on a bridge looking down. And, you know, this emotion came over me again when I watched it. It was really an interesting part for my life to relive this episode of my life, which in a way changed it because I went back the next day. And the apprentice who was a year older than me hit me in the vegetable cellar and I was peeling potatoes and onions and so forth. And, you know, until the chef saw me down there and he tried to grab me and throw me out. And I just screamed and I didn't want to leave. He called the owner and the owner then sent me to another hotel. And it started there. I had the woman chef, and she was nice because she had kids my age too. And they treated me a little better there. So it started to get better after that, but still not really very happy. It was really when I went to Beaumanière where my life changed when I was 19.
David, what was something that you discovered or helped you better understand the subject of your documentary by seeing Wolfgang in Austria with his family on that bridge in those locations?
Well, I think that a big part of his journey, and I think that's a really pivotal moment that we were just talking about, is when, you know, he felt like he couldn't be at home. And then he got thrown out of the restaurant he was working in because he was a kid and was inexperienced. And they were holding him to a standard that, you know, he just wasn't ready for yet. You know, he was relentless and he kept trying. And his story, it evolved from being someone who was running away from home to being someone that was pursuing something that he truly loved, which was to cook. And he discovered that when he went to France in Beaumanière. And so, you know, I think that the Wolfgang Puck that people have seen on TV, they don't know about this vulnerable side. They don't know about where it came from and where the drive came from. And I think that that's something that people are going to be inspired by when they watch the film.
Wolfgang, what changed at Beaumanière? What was the magic moment?
You know, at Beaumanière, it was so different. It was a three-star restaurant. Still, it's a three-star restaurant. When I went there, the owner was like 72 years old. He was so passionate about the ingredients. He had like six gardeners bringing the best beans, the smallest green beans, the most tasty strawberries or melon or whatever. And we used it that day for lunch or for dinner. You know, everything was so fresh and so great. But also, he went into the dining room, talked to the customers. I remember when he brought Elizabeth Taylor in the kitchen or George Pompidou, who was the president of France, in the kitchen. And, you know, as a 19-year-old then, I was pretty awestruck. And then he also liked my style of cooking because I wasn't afraid of him. Like when I used to make a sauce and he tasted it always and says, okay, put a little bit more salt and pepper in it. And then when he made something, he made me taste it. And I said, oh, put a little lemon juice and a little more salt. And he said, okay, and they put it in. So that way he had this confidence in me. And when he took a day off or when he went on vacation, he made sure that I stayed there, that I have to be the guy making the sauces. Yet he had 15 other people in the kitchen who were there and who were older for me, who were French, and I'm here, this Austrian kid, you know. This really changed my life because he really believed in me, and he made me feel like, oh, I can achieve something in the kitchen because this guy, who is one of the most famous restaurateur chefs in France, really trusted me. And then he sent me to his other restaurant, a one-star restaurant, and I was the chef there at 20 years old with five French guys in the kitchen. So that made me feel really good, and that made me feel, okay, I can be successful in doing that, because if not, this chef wouldn't trust this young guy, 20-year-old or 19-year-old, to run part of the kitchen. And then I went to Maxime's in Paris. That was the same way. And I think that gave me confidence. Before that, at 19, my friend was a truck driver in Austria. He was a few years older than me, and he made really good money. And I said, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to get out of the kitchen and become a truck driver. But Atelier changed my life. He became my mentor, and I always looked up to him. And even now, that he's gone for many years, and, you know, I'm his age the way he was then. I think it's really great for people to find a mentor, for young people to find a mentor, but most of all to find your passion. And if you can keep your passion for the rest of your life, I think you're really lucky, because then you never worked a day in your life.
My guests are Wolfgang Puck and David Gelb. We're talking about their film, Wolfgang. So, David, we talked about, you mentioned it earlier, about Wolfgang's impact on cuisine in the States, specifically in California, when he arrives in California. How would you describe how Wolfgang had an impact on cuisine in California?
Well, I think that, you know, he was one of the chefs that was leading the way in bringing great produce to the table and finding wonderful ingredients to make the food with. And I think that was a big part of it. And then the other thing is really just the idea that a chef can be a star, that the chef can step out from behind the shadow of the, and this is something that was in France, chefs were much more famous, but in the United States, the idea that a chef is not just the blue collar guy working in the back, but he is, you know, he's out front and he's greeting the guests. But Wolfgang took it to another level by hosting the Oscar parties, being photographed with movie stars and having friendships with them. And then he became a star equal in fame to them. And I think that that's something that really inspired a lot of people to want to become cooks, when before that, you know, maybe being a chef was, you know, kind of considered not a job that a lot of people would want.
So Wolfgang, of course, you're known for being a chef at La Maison and your own restaurant, Spago. The fame starts to grow. You're a natural on TV. How did you start to deal with the newfound fame that came with all the success, plus you still have to be a chef on top of it all?
Well, I love being a chef. I love being a cook. I love going to the market. So that was always my prime focus. Yes, I have to talk to accountants. I have to talk to lawyers and so forth. But cooking was always my passion and still is today. And I'm lucky at my age that I still love the cooking part, that I still can't wait to go in the kitchen or go to the restaurant. I like as much to talk to the people. But also one of the, I go back to Spago. Spago was probably the first restaurant with white tablecloths who had a totally open kitchen. The kitchen was in the middle of the dining room. So, and it was a total new concept. We had this wood-burning oven, and I remember nobody in L.A. had a wood-burning oven. Then I had this wood-burning grill next to me. And then when I opened Chinois, it was the first fusion restaurant, again with an open kitchen, with people sitting at the counter and watching the chefs doing things. I know today it's almost like a cliche, who doesn't have an open kitchen or things like that. But, you know, at that time, in 1982, it was totally new.
When did you realize pizza could be fancy, Wolfgang?
I did not realize it. You know, if you do something different, you know, something new in a way, put something together, something new, you never know how it will play, you know. It's like if you're an artist, I often thought in the old time, because I actually met Picasso at Beaumanière, and later on, I was thinking, how about he went into Cubism or he went into his blue period or whatever it was? How did he think it? Is it going to be successful? Maybe he thought maybe that's going to be a failure. But I think you can never be scared to try to do something different because you might think it's a failure. You always try something because you think you have to reinvent, you have to add things to different things. And when I did the same thing with the pizzas, I said, you know, everybody is making already pepperoni pizza or margherita pizza. I don't want to be one of the guys who is making margherita pizza, pepperoni pizza. So I said, the first thing, no tomato sauce on the pizza. So we made pesto, or we have really good olive oil, or we put made like a mushroom pesto where we roasted mushrooms with shallots and garlic and thyme and pureed them with olive oil and put that on the bottom and made a mushroom pizza with a little cheese on it. It tasted delicious. Why? Because the ingredients were great. I remember when I made the first time the smoked salmon pizza, obviously hot bread, hot pizza dough with a little onion and olive oil on it and then a dill cream and smoked salmon. Now, it sounds so logic today to put that on top, but somebody had to do it.
Somebody just emailed me, now I'm hungry after listening to that. My guests are David Gelb and Wolfgang Puck. We're talking about the film Wolfgang. David, you know, I think folks, you know, this is going to sound ridiculous, but Wolfgang, it seems like it's sort of effortless and makes it seem easy. But anyone who has known anybody in the restaurant business knows it's a 25-hour-a-day job. Can you share with our audience just what kind of sacrifices folks like Wolfgang, and Wolfgang specifically, had to make to be a success?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, Wolfgang refers in the film to, you know, the restaurants are also like his children, you know, and he has a responsibility to the livelihood of the entire staff. And so balancing that with a home family life is very difficult because, you know, of course, restaurants are operating when people want to be together. And that would be the ideal time to be with your family. But you're running this these restaurants. And so it's an incredible risk. It's very difficult work. And so the sacrifices are great. So it takes great passion. And I think that that's, you know, kind of the running theme through all of the, my films that have been about chefs, is about the passion. And then where does that passion come from? And why do they do this, a life that is quite difficult, but, you know, it has great highs and lows as well. And so I think that that's one of the reasons that chefs make for such compelling characters. And Wolfgang is, you know, of course, one of the greatest chefs in the world. It's such kind of an amazing opportunity to be able to make a film with him, because he's the kind of personality that can draw an audience that's so great, a large audience. And I think that they're going to be able to see the kind of work and passion that goes into creating a restaurant and having a career like this. And I think that's really great for the food world as a whole. And so I'm just really excited to share Wolfgang's life with the world.
Wolfgang, you are very candid in the film about this way your success affected your family life. When you think back on it, was there anything that you would do differently if you could?
Well, I think as we go along, we learn for sure. Would I have spent maybe more time with Cameron and Byron? Maybe. But at the end, they turned out really well. Byron is working with me now. Cameron just became a PhD. Now, when I got married to Galila, I said, you know, how can we really live together and work together? So now she's part of running the restaurants. Like when we start out, she looks, hires the designer, the architects and everything. And that makes us work together. It creates strain sometimes too, but at least we see each other more. So it's not like she doesn't know why I'm going to Budapest or Singapore or somewhere. So she knows what's going on. And now we created a new company and she's the CEO of it. And she's working really hard on the marketing part of it. And I'm going to do the cooking part. And I'm actually really excited to see. It's like a co-production now.
Wolfgang, it seems like you're pretty cool with strong women.
Yeah, you know what? I love people who are interesting, who are strong women or strong men. It doesn't matter to me. You know, we always think, you know, women are this or men are that. I think, you know, we are people. The same thing is people think about, you know, if you're from a different country, a different ethnic background. I really think if it's a woman or a man, you know, before there were almost no women chefs. Now you have a lot of women chefs who are very talented and who do such a great job. And there's no difference than a man, you know. In the old time, I remember Paul Bocuse, may he rest in peace, probably the most famous French chef. And one time, and we cooked together many times. So we had one woman chef, Jennifer, I remember, she wanted to go to France to Bocuse to work because he was the most famous restaurant owner in France and chef. And then I presented her to him and says, oh, Paul, this is Jennifer. She's going to come to work for you. And he said, but it's a woman. She's going to disrupt the kitchen. The guys don't going to be able to work. And I just looked at him and was shocked. I said, Paul, how can you say such a thing? But, you know, this days for sure, people would demonstrate in front of his restaurant if somebody would say things like that. But, you know, times have changed a lot. And I remember when I started at Ma Maison, I always had women chefs. And I think when I opened Spago, people like Nancy Silverton became, you know, really famous these days too. And she started with us there too. So I think to me, gender doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's a woman or a man. You know, if they have talent, if they have passion, if they love what they do, that's really what excites me.
The name of the film is Wolfgang. It's having its world premiere at the Tribeca Festival. It will be available to stream at home starting Sunday, 6 p.m. as part of the festival. And it will be on Disney Plus as of June 25th. David Gelb, thanks for being with us. And Wolfgang Puck, thank you for being with us as well.
Thank you so much. Now I can have lunch. Thank you. Hopefully my steak is not overdone yet.
Thanks.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.